Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Junto Presents. Podcast for genre fiction and audio drama. We bring you an original presentation performed by talented Hollywood actors utilizing top-notch audio production techniques. Join us at Franklin Manor, home to the Junto, a gentleman's club in the classic style where adventurers, mystics, and other unique individuals gather to socialize and conduct their private business. We offer you a glimpse at the strange and wonderful things to be found there. So please, sit back, relax, and enjoy the Junto Presents!
Hello and welcome to the first electronic transpondence from the archives of Franklin Manor. My name is David Parkin.
And my name's Robert Gibbs. We're the archivists and historians here at Franklin Manor and hosts of this new incarnation of our regular newsletter, which has finally moved from being transcribed on parchment and sent out via our spectral courier to a digital distribution model.
Okay, so we thought since we broadcast from here, it would be nice to take a moment before each dispatch and talk about the manor itself. Most of the main building was built 200 years ago. Once our founder Benjamin Franklin had won his little war, he decided the Adams Malt House had become too small for the weekly meetings of the Junto and started making plans for the manor.
Sadly, it wasn't finished until after his death, and technically, I guess it was never finished, considering that we're finding new rooms and corridors every once in a while.
That's right. And tonight, as it is our first broadcast from the manor ever, we thought we'd come from the biggest and most popular room, and that's the Adams Ballroom.
Named for Joseph Adams, uncle of Samuel Adams, yes, the one on your beer, Junto was created in Adams Pub, so we named this meeting space after him.
Tonight, the ballroom is host to the annual jamboree of the Order of the Brass Hammer. You might be able to hear the music over the background here. The Order is a collective of men who call themselves micronauts, or just...
Builders of automatons.
Right, which are...
robots with souls.
Don't ask me how they do it, but it's a fascinating sight to see, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we always love having the brass hammers here. Except for when they lose one of their little creations and it ends up haunting the corridors.
Isn't it amazing how many of the ghosts in this building aren't actual ghosts?
Yeah, you know, actually that's a pretty good segue into our dispatch tonight, which is also about a misconception.
Well, look at that. The segue, like our little robot friends over there dancing with their owners, has a soul of its own.
Automatons.
Right. And without further ado, we give you my rifle, my pony, and me.
Who's there?
Hello.
State your business, old man.
After sundown, the darkness overtook the plain so fast I scarcely had time to dismount. Then I saw your fire across the valley and hoped to find a friendly face.
Shoot, if I'd have seen your priest collar, I would have...
No, I'm just one of our father's children like you.
Please, have a seat. Sorry if I scared you, but you can never be too careful on this trail.
I understand.
I'll try to remember to keep from cursing. You should have to wear a bell or something so we Gentiles know who's listening with God's ears.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but every pair of ears is God's ears.
True.
Where are you headed?
Amarillo, from Dodge City.
We're just about trading places. My brother has a homestead about 6 miles southeast of Liberal, Kansas.
Beautiful part of the world up there. I just got the leavings of some beaver and beans in the pot. It ain't much, but you're welcome to it.
I can add a few potatoes. We'll have a proper stew.
All right, then.
Can I ask you, do you have a relationship with God?
Next question.
Forgive me, it's an old habit to make the spirituality of a man my business. Are you traveling alone?
I got 50 head of cattle with me. It ain't the season for a big herd, but I figure I'd get in one last sale before winter.
You're brave. I must admit making this trip alone has me jumping at every gust of wind. What with bandits or worse.
They don't usually come down this far.
Who?
Apaches.
Is that a fact?
Even if they did, they'd never let you see their fire.
You have many run-ins with them?
A few here and there, but not in the way you might be thinking.
There's only one type of run-in with an Apache I'm aware of.
You should know as well as anyone that the world you read about in the paper and the real world are two very different things.
I've seen what they can do with my own eyes, son. Don't tell me.
You've seen what brave men with near-perfect hunting skills can do when their home is threatened. If you saw how those men treat a man they regard as... I'm sorry. I haven't seen another living soul in 6 weeks. I run into a priest, no less, and here I'm picking fights. Ain't a proper way to share a fire with a stranger. I apologize.
No need. How's the herd?
Fidgety, tired, grumpy. Just like me. What's your business, Liberal? Is there a mission there?
Yes. Actually, but that's not the reason I'm going. My brother and his wife have a new baby. She's taken ill, so I plan to be there either playing nursemaid, God willing, or if things... performing any other task that may be required.
I see.
Either way, it's always good to spend time with a loved one. Do you have family?
My pa used to say that the measure of a man is how happy his woman is when he comes home. Well, I ain't been home but 8 nights in the last 5 months, so I can tell you true that come Tuesday, my measure will be a robust one. Sorry if that sounded...
Nothing wrong with a loving relationship, son.
I work hard and I do so with pride. She and my kids work just as hard as I do to ensure the land and the linen is washed and ironed when I get home.
What do they regard you as?
Hmm?
The Apache. You said they act different because they regard you as something.
I don't want to get into all that.
I don't wish to argue, son. I'm only curious. We've run out of the usual trail questions, and I'm not ready to turn in.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
I've heard God's truth and the devil's lies more than most men. I know when I'm being put on.
Hmm. Wasichu Wage Wakana.
You speak Apache?
Enough to get by.
What does it mean?
It means the man who talks to thunder.
Well, how do you like that? Our missions across the region are here to convert the savages. We've never been able to get near the Apache. Are you telling me you figured out a way to reach them?
Not really.
Then what? Did you heal one of them with prayer?
No.
Baptize them? Marry one of them?
No.
You must understand, this is a subject I've been passionate about for years. If you have any insight, you must...
I spoke to God, and they saw me do it.
Tonight's episode of the Junto Presents is brought to you by Dreams in the Witch House, a Lovecraftian rock and roll opera, H.P. Lovecraft's cosmic horror tale from 1933, is presented in 16 epic hard rock tracks. Featuring former KISS guitarist Bruce Kulick and WASP guitarist Douglas Blair Lusick. Available now on the internet webpage witchhouserocks.com.
You asked, Father.
God himself.
You ready to turn in now?
I know you think you're telling the truth. I can see that in your eyes.
Let's forget it. I gotta be up before the sun.
No. We've opened the can. We must eat what's inside. I can help you.
Help me what?
To know whether this was a vision or something else.
Someone other than you has a sacred experience and you write it off as satanic?
I didn't say that.
The message was in the mail. Forget it, Father. Last thing I need is to ride into Amarillo to find a lynch mob waiting at my door.
Now listen, I'm a man of my word, or I am not a man at all. I won't judge you, son. I promise you that.
Yeah, I guess I could use the opinion of a man of the cloth.
And I'd love to give it.
All right. Well, years back, I'm not making confession, Father, but I wasn't a moral man. I was violent toward women. I was drunk. I'd stolen, lied, cheated, even tried to kill a man once. Thank God he survived, but I admit, his survival wasn't my desire or intention at the time. Did time in striped pajamas for that, among other things. In fact, I was heading home from my time on the chain up in the Smoky Valley when this happened. This was 1864, so 9 years ago this spring. I don't know if you remember, but fall hit us hard and fast up through the panhandle that year. I rode through the basin. The air was crisp and cool. A thunderhead the color of deep ice was moving in low and swollen, but held back her bounty like a teasing woman. It was early in the afternoon, but the clouds were so thick it felt like after sunset. When I descended from the plateau, my pony began acting strange, anticipating thunder like she was just a filly. There was no wind, no sounds, not even the whippoorwills had come south early to beat the snow. I was waiting for thunder. I was waiting for...
Go on.
I was feeling mighty low on account of the direction my life had ended up. I had a good life as a child, an honorable father, a loving mother. I was thinking about them when I had a sudden feeling that I wasn't alone. My instinct wasn't to look over my shoulder, but to look up toward the heavens. I felt for a moment like I was a beetle on a dried riverbed. Something up there was watching me with great interest. That's when I heard it.
Angels?
First I thought it was thunder, but it remained in the sky, constant like a hum. It was so loud it penetrated my chest. Then I thought it was an earthquake because it was shaking the smaller rocks off the edge of the plateau. I knew it wasn't thunder or an earthquake when I realized the sound was coming from above me.
The horn of the archangel?
Don't think that didn't cross my mind, Father. At first my pony tensed, but after a moment she slowed and stopped without prompting and hung her head as if she was giving into it somehow. The sound continued without pause but became softer, fading like... Sometimes you don't hear crickets unless you listen for them. And I had a strange feeling like my very bones were warming up inside my body. My hands, feet, and the top of my head began to tingle like they do when you sleep on them too long. I was so preoccupied with that feeling, I didn't notice the light at first. Faint, but growing brighter. I thought the clouds above me were thinning and the sun was about to peek through. But instead, they began to swirl like a tornado, with the tip of the cone stretching up into the sky instead of down towards me. When the clouds finally parted, a light landed on me with such force I swear it made a sound when it hit the ground. All around me was dark and peaceful, all but in a perfect circle surrounding me. Whatever this was, it opened for me. I know, because I tried to run at first. That light followed me.
Ay, Dios mío.
I got off my pony, clutching my rifle like it would somehow have an effect on this force. But when I saw him, I put it back in the saddle. I wasn't afraid. I don't know why. He was in the light, coming through the clouds. Hands out like he was offering me something. He wasn't falling. He wasn't flying. He's just kind of descending.
You're saying you saw a physical body?
Just like you're looking at me.
Was he looking at you?
Not at first. He looked over the vista till his feet touched the ground. Then he turned to me.
What did he look like? Please.
I can't lie to you, Father. He didn't look at all like the paintings. No beard, no robe. His eyes were dark. No color, but full of emotion. He was tall. A full head taller than me. He's wearing black, kind of loose clothing. It's a fabric I'd never seen before. I'd never seen a cleaner or finer person in all my life. And I don't expect to again.
Were you not frightened?
I can't explain why not. Other than the fact that I could tell, just by the way he looked at me, that he meant no harm. Like my mother used to when I had done something to make her proud.
You said he spoke to you?
No words. But there was communication. I can't begin to describe it. It was as if I was feeling his emotions, thinking his thoughts.
A still, small voice, would you say?
I guess you could say that.
What was the message?
That was clear. He told me how the world's going to end.
He tells us how the world ends in the Bible.
He showed it to me. I didn't see no horned beast with seven wings, Father. I saw what looked like a city. But everything was made of steel. The carriages, the buildings, even the ground below my feet. Tiny lanterns burned everywhere, every window. Some floated on the rivers, some even flew in the sky. People the size of trees spoke to me from the tops of buildings that rose up for what seemed like forever. I think I was looking at heaven, because there were windows looking down over streets and in buildings that weren't to the outside, but to other worlds, other people, talking, laughing, like that's how God can see us.
Was God there?
There was a face. Huge paintings of a man covered the sides of buildings, glowed in people's hands, even looked back at you through the glowing windows. And I don't think that man was God.
Why?
He was old, smiling but not genuinely. Kind of a dominating look to him. Didn't seem like people in this place were too happy with him. Just as soon as it appeared, I saw it all come down. The whole city. Leveled by a fireball rolling over it, big as a dust storm. Those that weren't killed began fighting with each other over food, shelter. The blast must have affected their minds because nobody seemed to be moving on. Or hunting, fishing. Like they couldn't remember how.
The war in heaven. Maybe that man was...
I can't say for sure. The vision stopped. I was back on the plane with him. He told me this is how it ends and to be warned about this man I saw. It was like he expected me to understand, but I didn't. I couldn't. He looked desperate, pleading like he was begging me to do something. I had no idea what to say. Got the feeling this wasn't the only time he tried this. Like he was lost and desperate to find someone to help him. He didn't say goodbye. He didn't say anything. He just...
vanished.
Ascended. Faster, this time into a...
What?
They say God travels on a beam of light, but this was no light. This was a boat or a ship. Huge. The size of the entire plateau I stood on. It sailed on the clouds like they were the surface of a lake, and I was staring up from the bottom. It was steel, too, but not like the city. It was smooth like quicksilver, black as iron. Just before he entered the bottom of the ship, the clothes he wore changed shape like clay molded over an invisible hand. When it was over, he wore a tight one-piece pajama, thick and shiny like a white salamander. The door closed behind him, the light faded, and the vessel rose up into the clouds. When it was over, I saw, on the rim of the plateau, three Apache hunters who must have seen the lights from afar and rode in to investigate.
They spoke to you?
They turned and rode off, scared out of their wits, which I can understand. It wasn't until a few years later, I was run down by a few who thought I might be in the area to steal their horses. When they saw me, they knelt down and offered their horses up like a gift. Naturally, I refused, and that's when they called me Wasichu Wagi Wakana. From then on, I'd find gifts of food, water, blankets, and all sorts on the foot of my bedroll every so often as I woke up on the range. To this day, I get the feeling they're watching me, protecting me. And that's where I find the grit to herd cattle down this trail on my own, to tell you the truth. If they're out there or not, it's a nice enough thought to keep me going. That's why I'll have words with anyone who says anything negative about the Apaches.
That is quite the story.
I don't know what God meant by it, but since then, I have mended my soul, turned from a life of crime, and dedicated myself to a family. I figure as long as I do right by the woman I love, my children, my associates, whatever that was, has no reason to warn me about anything.
If it was from God.
Following something that keeps my soul clean and my home a happy one is true enough the way I see it. Well, Father, my best turn in. Got a long haul come sunup.
Of course.
You're welcome to pitch here, but I think it's fair to warn you. I snore like a timber man's saw.
Thank you for that. I think I'll pitch west of the outcropping down the bluff to get a few more minutes of shade in the morning.
Sounds good. Nice talking to you, Father.
My son, it has been a true pleasure. Good night.
Good night now.
Damn it, man. What took you so long?
We thought you fell in love.
So, what are we looking at?
He's alone. Shouldn't be trouble. He's touched in the head. Claims he talked to God and Apaches guard him on his drive.
Takes some cojones to blaspheme to a priest. Even if it's a fake one.
Maybe he's smarter than you think.
If he knew I was just dressed like this to get the jump on him, then he's got guts.
Let's see what those guts look like spilled out in the moonlight. What is that? An arrow!
Apache!
Let's get out of here!
Move! Go!
Thank you.
purple light in the canyon. That's where I long to be with my two good companions, just my rifle, my pony, and me. Gonna hang my sombrero on a limb of a tree, riding home, sweetheart darling, just my rifle, my pony, and me.
Whippoorwill in the willow sings a sweet melody.
Riding to Amarillo, just my rifle, my pony, and me. No more cows,
no more cows
to be roping,
to be roping.
No more strays,
no more strays
will I see round the bend. She'll be waiting,
I'll be waiting
for my rifle, my pony, and me. For my rifle, my pony.
The Junto Presents is brought to you by Dreams in the Witch House, a Lovecraftian rock opera available at witchhouserocks.com. Tonight's program was produced by Mr. Robert J. Gibbs, written by Mr. David Parkin, and directed by Mr. Timothy Thompson. Featuring performances by Mike McGill, Mike Dallagher, the ghost of Boris Shackleton, with a musical performance by Mike Dallagher and Elaine Cajun, featuring Anders Riemann on guitar. I am your announcer, James K. Riley, reminding you that the Junto are dedicated to mutual improvement in the lives and business they embody. Who are the Junto? Perhaps, dear listener, the Junto is you.